Good afternoon, Chair Nelson, Vice Chair Inahosa, and the remainder of the committee. My name is Dr. Carrie Byington, and I'm the Senior Vice President for the Texas A&M Health Sciences Center. I'm proud to be representing Texas A&M, and I'm grateful to be here speaking with you today. I am a Texan, and I am an Aggie. I was recruited by from the University of Utah by Chancellor Sharp and President Young, and empowered to lead our Health Sciences Center to a new level of excellence. I am absolutely committed to using innovation to increase healthcare access, to lower costs, and to reduce health disparities, especially in the rural areas of Texas and in South Texas, where I come from. Last week, January 17th, was my first day on the job.
Oh.
It was also the day that Senate Bill 1 was released. As a new leader...
Your phone rang as well.
It did. As a new leader facing budget reductions of over $50 million on day one, I'm naturally concerned. My primary concerns for the reductions of this magnitude is that it could prevent Texas A&M Health Science Center from realizing our vision for the future. And importantly, it could jeopardize our ability to meet our commitments to the 3,000 students who are currently enrolled and that we are educating today in biomedical sciences, dentistry, medicine, nursing, pharmacy, and public health. The most critical issue that we face in the Senate Bill 1 is the elimination of funding for special items. Thanks in part to special item funding, the Texas A&M College of Medicine was recognized by U.S. News and World Reports as the most affordable public medical school in the nation and the most affordable medical school in Texas. Because of our low tuition, we are able to attract and educate students from rural and underserved groups. Further, half of our graduates are able to choose the relatively lower-paying primary care specialties, in part because they are not crippled by educational debt. At the risk of sounding alarmist during my very first presentation to this body, the proposed $31 million reduction in College of Medicine funding would be devastating for our program. This level of reduction would end our ability to take 200 students per year, and it would jeopardize our ability to train the 800 students who are currently enrolled in our College of Medicine. In addition, these cuts directly relate to our ability to teach and will change our faculty student numbers and could put our LCME accreditation at risk. Like the College of Medicine, the College of Pharmacy reductions proposed in Senate Bill 1 could also threaten accreditation. As you know, the College of Pharmacy is relatively new, and it has trained 550 pharmacists since its inception 10 years ago. 40% of these graduates are practicing in South Texas. In my written testimony, I provide greater detail, but I would like to highlight a few of the potential changes based on if Senate Bill 1 stands. The first is that medicine would temporarily or permanently close one or more of our clinical campuses. The College of Pharmacy would close the College Station program. The Corpus Christi and McAllen campuses would likely close. We would not be able to continue with our nursing program in Lufkin. Healthy South Texas and forensic nursing, both which are new initiatives to improve health outcomes for those in South Texas and for victims of child abuse, would be suspended. And finally, we could expect reductions of approximately 200 teaching faculty and staff across the health sciences. Texas A&M is particularly reliant on state support, with appropriations counting for 50% of our budget, compared with a range of 5 to 35% at all other health-related institutions. As our health science has not traditionally had a hospital or a faculty practice generating clinical income, we do not have other funding sources to use to support these reductions. We will no longer be able to educate our students, support our campuses, or maintain our teaching faculty at the levels we need for accreditation. The medical school expansion and the pharmacy startup were begun to address the healthcare needs of the state at a time when there was higher formula funding. the existing programs cannot survive in their current forms without special item funding. In closing, the Texas A&M Health Science Center supports the land-grant mission and the legislative directions of Healthy South Texas and forensic nursing. These are at the heart of Texas A&M Health Sciences Center, and this is why I moved from Utah to be back in Texas, because I want to transform healthcare. We have more than doubled our enrollment over the last decade to meet the healthcare needs of the state. I hope and am confident in the days to come you will be able to work to reverse these reductions in Senate Bill 1. The Texas A&M Health Science Center looks forward to continuing to fulfill our mission in partnership with the legislature to improve the health of all Texans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for coming to Texas. Welcome to Texas. Let me ask you about your special items. Are these in your priority order?
The special items?
Yes.
I would have to look to see how they were presented to see if they're in priority order, but we are prioritizing them.
Will you, if they're not in priority, will you let me know one way or the other? We are looking, I'm assuming you were here this morning. We're
yes.
looking at all of these and looking very carefully, and you know, if we can't do everybody's, which I don't think we're going to be able to do everybody's, I need to know what's most important to your mission. So.
And we are looking very closely to that, and I'm happy to provide that
prioritization.
Thank you.
And you know what? I'll also, and I'm sure the chairman of the new work group will be happy to do this, but we also need to know if you can get by with less on some of these. You know, if you could do it with 50% of what you're asking on each special item. We're
okay.
looking for ways to come up with as many efficiencies as we can.
Thank you.
Senator Schwerner.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was actually about to say the same thing, prioritization of the special items. I think that pertains to
every institution.
The other issue is you mentioned twice about accreditation student-faculty ratios. Specifically, is A&M in a worse state than maybe the other institutions, or is that something that you just have? I know you've been involved in academic medicine. Why are you saying that with such vigor?
I would say that this is incredibly important to Texas A&M. We have a distributed campus model. And because we don't own our own teaching facility, our own teaching hospital, we don't have our own faculty plan, we pay to be in a variety of campuses across the state of Texas. And so we must demonstrate to the LCME that we can provide an equivalent experience in any campus that we are involved in. And that will become very, very difficult as students are spread out and we have to have support multiple campuses. And I believe that could trigger an LCME evaluation that could put our accreditation for multiple campuses at risk.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to my office a couple of days ago, too. And it's a pleasure to meet you.
It was a pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Senator Nichols.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. The nursing program in Lufkin, it was put together really by Angelina College, Community College, and it may not be fair to ask you this, but you might have somebody on your staff.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
They received accreditation by setting it all up through A&M, which is really important, but I don't understand why all of a sudden y'all would have to shut them down.
Well, again, I'd need to speak with my nursing deans, and I am meeting with all my nursing deans on February the 2nd from across the system to try to understand how these colleges have and programs have been set up and how they are funded.
I would appreciate it if you would get somebody to come visit my office, because I certainly don't understand.
Okay.
The community college is doing the work, and they're just trying to follow y'all's accreditation to get that seal. So
thank you.
Didn't connect with me. Thanks.
Okay. Any other Senator Betancourt?
Just a quick welcome to Texas. Your prior experience was with a system that had a teaching hospital or didn't have a teaching hospital, I'm curious.
The University of Utah has a large teaching hospital, one of the largest in the state.
Right, and when you compare the models between A&M's obviously the largest system that doesn't have a teaching hospital. Is there somewhere else in the country that you can look at that for a model of that size? I'm curious about the difference between the way we've grown up here in Texas, where we've got one of our major institutions that it doesn't have a teaching hospital, but the others do.
It is an anomaly.
Okay.
And some would consider it a potential weakness. I actually see it as an opportunity to develop newer models of care, 21st century models of care, that are non-hospital based. And I'm very excited to undertake that here at Texas A&M.
And Dr. Wagner, I'm happy to hear that, because that's in the 21st century. You know, if we can't use these IT tools to our advantage and have less reliance on brick and mortar, to some degree.
Well, that's definitely my plan. I'd like to see patient-centered practices that are technology-dependent and evidence-based.
And we're happy that you came to Texas, if you can do that.
I'm glad to be back home.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. No other questions.